In the name of the God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Today's gospel is the familiar story of the anointing of Jesus. I think one reason it's familiar is because there is a story of the anointing of Jesus in each of the four gospels. So something like this happened. But what you might be surprised by is that they're not all told in the same way. The context is different in each of the gospel stories, though Matthew and Mark's are the most consistent. And Matthew, Mark, and John all tell the story near the end as Jesus is about to enter into the time where he journeys toward the crucifixion. And so this anointing is seen as a burial rite. But in Luke's gospel, which is where we've been most recently, the story is told earlier. And it's told from a perspective of a sinful woman, and it's an example of what true contrition looks like and the elevation of joy when you're forgiven fully as a sinner, similar to some of the things we talked about last week with the prodigal son. And the location and host of each of the stories varies. Again, in Matthew and Mark, it's in Bethany, but it's at the home of Simon the leper. And in Luke's gospel, it's at the home of a Pharisee. And it's only in John's gospel that it's among his friends, Lazarus and Martha and Mary. There's a difference about the woman herself. In Mark, Matthew, and Luke, the woman is unnamed. Now, Pope Gregory the Great, in the 6th century, decided to attach Mary Magdalene to the story in Luke's gospel as the sinful woman, only because she's mentioned as a follower of Jesus in the text immediately following the story. But there is nothing in the text itself that ascribes Mary Magdalene to prostitute or sinner status. She was actually a wealthy, independent woman who helped fund Jesus' ministry. Unfortunately, Andrew Lloyd Webber picked up this Pope Gregory the Great theme in Jesus Christ Superstar, and the artists of the Middle Ages also. And so this nameless woman has been named inappropriately for many, many, many centuries. And in Mark and Matthew, the act is referred to as being righteous. The unnamed woman would be remembered for having done this gracious act of anointing for Jesus in this time of preparation. So it's only in John's gospel that we have the name of Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. And just to be clear, if that's possible at this point, this isn't the same Mary and Martha that we see in Luke's gospel, where Martha is the one serving and Mary is the one sitting at Jesus' feet. This is a completely different story. So this is the challenge of gospel mashups. There are two things that are common in all four of the stories. One is that Jesus was anointed by a woman. A somewhat radical act in his time and place in the world. And the second is that this act of anointing is objected to by someone. Who it's objected to varies by story, but it's challenged in each of the stories. But the act of anointing itself is considered a sacred and spiritual act. Throughout Scripture, it would be evoked at times of consecration. Anointing would happen as acts of healing or of comfort or restoration. Or, as in the example of the burial rite, it would be an act of preservation and preparation of the body for burial, though that would happen after the person died. And so this is a symbolic story. It's a symbolic story in John's gospel that tells us that Mary understood what was happening. Mary had an awareness that others hadn't quite grasped. Lazarus had just been raised from the dead. In John's gospel, it was this act that precipitates Caiaphas and others to seek to kill Jesus. In the other gospels, it's the turning over of the tables in the temple. In John's gospel, it's the raising of Lazarus. Lazarus' mere presence is an affront to the authorities because it shows the power of Jesus and who and how he operated in the world. And so Mary gets it. Mary knows that the hour is coming. And in her anointing, she's consecrating Jesus. She's comforting Jesus. And she's preparing him for what is at hand in the coming days. Now, in John's gospel, the story also is a mechanism to demonize Judas further. The poor are never mentioned in John's gospel. Unlike the others that have parables about taking care, if you have two coats and somebody else has none, give them one of yours. There's none of that language in John's gospel. The only mention of the poor is in this story in John's gospel, because that isn't the point. The point is that Judas is a thief as well as a betrayer when he says, "Why has this perfume not been sold and the money given to the poor?" Parenthetically, the gospel writer says, he didn't care about the poor. He was a thief and a betrayer. Again, Jesus Christ Superstar sort of paints a different picture of Judas, and as I watched it as a young person, I lean into that a little bit. But it is important for us to realize the distinction. But even so, in Matthew and Mark's telling of the story, it's the disciples as a whole that challenge the use of this ointment, saying it's wasteful. That ointment could have been sold and the money given to the poor. And as I reflected upon this, I reflected on some comments that I've heard, and maybe you have too from time to time, about other things that we might spend money on. The organ elephant in the room, where people have rightly asked that question. That's a lot of money to spend for a congregation of our size and budget. And what else might we have been able to do with the money we are using to pay for the organ? It's a valid question. It's as valid as the question that the disciples asked of Jesus. And yet I contend that the organ today is the anointing oil of Jesus' time. It's a sacred and spiritual part of our time together. It's consecrating, it's comforting, it's restorative, and it's enriching to this faith community when we gather each week. Its mere presence in the form that it holds conveys, even unplayed, who we are. Open, bold, creative. Have you ever seen an organ like this before? Daring, perhaps, and certainly faithful. Mary's open, bold, creative, daring, and faithful act came when she took a pound of costly perfume and poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. It was an all-in moment by Mary amid family and friends. I contend that similarly, the anonymous gifter that provided an interest-free loan so that we could install this anointing oil organ in our midst was also providing an all-in moment, an anointing act. And each of us also are invited to participate in that anointing, a consecration and commitment to our life together, a life that will sustain us for generations to come, a life of family and friends journeying together, following Jesus. Like Mary with Jesus, we gather each Sunday. We consecrate one another. We comfort one another. And then we are prepared to go out and be the hands and feet of Christ in the world, to boldly, creatively, and faithfully be all in to the ministry that Jesus calls us to as Church of the Servant. All in. Amen.